I've never been more thankful that a break ended.
Yeah. Thank you, FCC, for sparing me from having to explain something terrible to Brian McDaniel.
The dark places that conversation went during the break.
But listen for the podcast on Hamster Talk.
Twin Cities News Talk.
Sam's new podcast.
Justice and Drew. Hey, Sam. We just realized that there is a line in the studio where even myself and Drew cannot bro.
Really?
Me neither.
Yeah. Suddenly none of us could
of our bro.
We reached peak bro.
Yeah.
I am so glad that I wasn't.
You have no idea.
But I could have gotten sued if you were in here.
But I'm the one suffering because I don't know what you're talking about. You guys won't tell me.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna have to go Urban Dictionary.
Yeah. Uninformed. Yeah. You Urban Dictionary that, and you get back to us after the break.
Well, you see, there were these two.
No.
Off air, sir.
No.
All right, I'm putting an end to this.
Trump tweets. Yeah. Trump tweets.
He always tweets.
What now? Oh, shit.
19 minutes ago, the President of the United States tweeted. Oh, he's added another one, so it scrolled down. Okay, 19 minutes ago. He's busy this morning.
He's listening.
A lot of executive time.
Well, he's got the chest McMuffins going.
We're convinced he listens to the show and tweets during the show because he likes hearing his song.
Yeah.
Oh,
and also,
he
probably wanted to get us to stop talking about hamsters.
True story.
Just signed bill. Clinton?
He autographed a president.
It just says, just signed bill. Bill's capitalized. Like some dude named Bill just hanging out.
Oh, it's the budget.
Oh my God.
It's a budget.
What if it's not?
Is it Bill Frist?
No.
He should have put a Bill Clinton gif on it. That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
Playing like a sax or something.
All right. Just signed bill. Our military will now be stronger than ever before. We love and need our military and gave them everything and more.
True story.
If you gave them everything, there is no more. First time this has happened in a long time. Also means, all caps, jobs. 12 minutes ago, as an addendum. Without more Republicans in Congress, we were forced to increase spending. No, you weren't. On things we do not like or want in order to finally, after many years of depletion, take care of our military. Sadly, we needed some Dem votes for passage. Must elect more Republicans in 2018 election.
Sadly, we needed some Dem votes from the guy whose State of the Union thing was about bipartisanship. I mean, isn't theoretically, in the ideal political system, wouldn't we want bills and policies that everyone goes, you know what? I think I have to sign that. I think that's pretty good. I think we all have to get behind it.
I'm off that train. I'm off that. I just want overwhelming majorities now. I'm tired of bipartisan pieces of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, no, I know you're right, though. In theory, it always ends up being the worst parts of both sides as opposed to the best. Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong about that. Yeah.
And then, 1 minute ago, the president added on, costs on non-military lines will never come down if we do not elect more Republicans in the 2018 election and beyond. This bill is a big victory for our military, but much waste in order to get Dem votes. Fortunately, DACA not included in this bill. Negotiations to start now.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting battle.
Yeah.
That's going to be the DACA immigration one moving forward. Now that it's out of the budget, I honestly don't know what to expect. I really don't know what to expect, what that fight's going to look like or what's going to end up happening.
I really think people need to listen to the Wrong About Everything podcast for the last couple of weeks and then this week too, because on the DACA issue, Javier Murillo, who's been on this program, his little head explodes over how the Democrats are just giving it all away.
Yeah.
He is hypercritical of how it's being handled by the left.
All right.
And I think that's fair. I think it's fair for him to be. Mm-hmm. If the roles were reversed and it was an issue that was very important to me that was being hung up, I wouldn't trust the Democrats when they just said, no, go ahead and pass this and we'll deal with that later. So I don't blame him.
All right, I'm going to move things around here because I think this one story we're going to do first is going to derail everything again. So let's get some serious issues and then we can get back to having a little bit of fun. Out of the Pioneer Press, Republican turnout for Tuesday night's precinct caucuses in Minnesota was the lowest it's been since 2002, the farthest back for which numbers were available. Horrifically low, as one former state lawmaker says. They go through a number of different reasons here. Few in the Republican Party are pleased with the low turnout, but the degree to which they're worried varies, according to interviews with several prominent Republicans. Party chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan did not respond to requests from the Pioneer Press for comment, but she did here on Justice and Drew earlier this week, and you can go back and listen to that if you download the iHeartRadio app at 7 a.m. on Wednesday show.
Correct.
A little bit of a... Nice plug there. Yeah, I tried. I wrote it down. So, several theories as to why the turnout was low. Before we get into the four theories of this article, first off, it seems like the media does like pointing out that there was a very low turnout for the GOP caucuses this week. Yeah. Before we get to that, though, I guess we can kind of go around the room and get everybody's thoughts, and starting with you, Brian McDaniel. Any thoughts on the low caucus turnout? How much does it matter? And do you have any idea, your own ideas of what may have attributed to it?
Well, I mean, I have super strong opinions on this. I mean, I am a former local party chair, so I've run these. It has been my job to get people excited about it, to get them to come to this. And when you are the party in power, it is very hard to kind of gin up a lot of enthusiasm. That is offset when you have competitive races like we do now for governor and maybe a few other lesser races. But what I do think is that two things. I think one, it shows that there isn't enough enthusiasm for current gubernatorial candidates, or at least people haven't decided who they want yet. And, you know, Governor Pawlenty possibly getting in the race tempers that a little bit. The second thing is that that caucuses aren't fun. And you got to remember that people who have jobs, people who have kids, it's a Tuesday night. It's important to go. But if we don't make it something that is enticing to people, they won't go, and they're not going.
How do you make it enticing?
Punch and pie.
Well, I think we have a separate caucus
for hamsters.
Gentlemen,
fondue.
We have a separate caucus for organizing because it's important. That's where you find your next candidates. That's where you find the people who work for the party locally. And then you have a separate one, like a primary, where people can go and they can vote in the straw poll and all that stuff. That way you get the workers and you get the people who want to be part of the party, but not necessarily are going to be part of the party that wants to argue about resolutions for 8 hours on a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Yeah, the lack of I echo your sentiments for one of the reasons why turnout was low. I do think that there's a lack of excitement, a lack of enthusiasm with the governor's race on the Republican side right now. And part of that I do think is that specter of Pawlenty that's sort of hanging over everything.
And one more thing too is that you're asking people to participate in the establishment, which is the local party, while also telling them that the establishment is bad. So a lot of the people who and this happened a little bit with the Ron Paul voters, you know, a couple cycles back, and now the Trump voters, we are telling them the establishment is bad. If you are part of the establishment, you are bad. You have sold out. But please go on a Tuesday night and sign up to be part of the establishment. Right. You can't have it both ways. If you want workers, you can't tell them not to do this.
A question for you, Brian Miller, being the one who's sort of out of the furthest out from what we do, right? Mm-hmm. Do you put any kind of importance when you see these stories of turnout from caucus night? When you see the story of, you know, low GOP turnout, do you look at that and does that affect your opinion of current politics at all? Or do you just kind of go, it's caucus night, it is what it is?
I mean, it's one of those things that could be a canary in a coal mine type situation. But this, as a guy who, you know, does some football commentating, this reminds me of, like, in May when you're talking about how the running backs are going to be for the Cowboys and if the line's going to be good. And you can speculate on it a lot, and maybe the practice that you had or the draft class wasn't as good or whatever, but ultimately, you never really know until the season starts. You know, when you're so far out from the actual activity, with politics, I mean, you could have, who knows, the million different things that could happen between now and the 18 elections that could completely ramp up enthusiasm on one side or the other, or completely crush enthusiasm on one side or the other.
And that's why I don't necessarily buy into the doom and gloom that a lot of people are out there saying, oh, we only had, it was a 10,000, a little just shy of 11,000 people turn out for GOP caucuses, whereas Democrats had closer to 30,000. I don't remember the exact numbers off the top of my head. And you'll see, like, Pat Garofalo is on Twitter, Marty Seifert's on Twitter, you know, are out there making statements about how horrifically low and how it's damning, and unless something changes, we're doomed in November. And you have more experience in this than I do, Brian McDaniel. Is caucus turnout consistently indicative of November turnout?
Well, you have to have something to go there for. So I don't think it's necessarily indicative. I mean, I think that when you're the party in power, there's sometimes it's harder to get excited because you're more excited to take somebody out than to support somebody who's already in there. But I think that when it is not a good sign, especially for our gubernatorial candidates, because what their job should have been, and that's each and every one of them. So I'm not picking at any single one, is that they should have been contacting people in all these communities saying, I need you to come out and I need you to caucus for Mary Giuliani Stevens or Jeff Johnson or Keith Downey or Lance Johnson or whoever the other people are. They didn't do that evidently very successfully, because in years past when we've had I can remember back when it was Brian Sullivan, businessman Brian Sullivan versus, you know, then not governor Tim Pawlenty, the caucuses were packed and everybody was there because they were there to support one or the other and it felt important. That's just not the way people are feeling right now.
Yeah, and you know what? You all kind of hit on the four reasons they gave here in this Pioneer Press article. Number one was sleepy contests, right? Even though Republicans have their first chance in years to take back the governor's seat in both U.S. Senate seats, they went on to say there's no need to caucus about it. Thus far, only one Republican candidate challenging each senator. Trump/party in power always suffers. You get further in, Tim Pawlenty was the other factor in here. The one that didn't get mentioned, though, that they threw in at the end was weather. No. They said in the absence of other explanations, the weather is always a possibility. In my area, one person said there was light snow and it was cold. You never know how something like that might go and affect turnout.
But I can remember when and sometimes it's federal races, too, because I can remember when it would have been, 2008? For the caucuses going into the 2008 election, it was packed, standing room only, couldn't even get into, I was doing some McCain stuff at the time, so I was going from to different BPOUs and reading letters and whatnot, and you couldn't even get into some of the gyms or the lunchrooms or wherever they were because there were so many people there to participate.
The one thing that I've seen, and I've heard several different, and it's, you know, anecdotal, but I've heard several different people, was Pawlenty. They've been sort of not publicly saying it, but behind, you know, just in conversation going, yeah, I'm kind of waiting before I, you know, start getting fully involved because I don't know how that's going to factor in on all this.
Here's my counterbalance to that is that the Pawlenty voter, the modern Pawlenty voter, is not necessarily the person that's going to be going to caucuses anyway.
Right.
For the most part, there certainly would be some, but, you know, if that's true, you know, then people should be excited about Pawlenty because look at all the people who didn't go to caucuses
right.
because they want to vote for Pawlenty. But if they were caucus goers, they would still go and they would write his name in or they would vote undecided, which I think undecided took third, right? Or
second.
So yeah. Maybe they did go and then they voted undecided.
I like Brian Miller. I liked you're talking football. It'd be like going in, like NASCAR starts this weekend. We got qualifying and there's the exhibition race, but it would be like going in and looking at the season based off this weekend going, oh, this person's going to do great. You just don't put a lot of weight and stock into
you
it.
Never
you
never really know
it.
And in politics, things always move toward the middle pretty much. You know, it always turns out to be the base shows up for each side and you get the undecided waffle here and there. So yeah, I don't. If I was a Republican Party chairman, I would look at this as a Belichickian opportunity to threaten people, say, we got to get involved. This is a harbinger of potential badness. We got to turn this ship around. You know, you could use that as a motivator.
And one other thing, though, that doesn't jive with this, both on the state level and on the national level, Republicans are raising tons and tons and tons of money. So it's almost like...
Not the gubernatorial candidates.
Well, no, but the parties are... Yeah, the gubernatorials aren't, but you look at Karen Housley. She's raising a fair amount of money. Mm-hmm. But like, if you look at the numbers, let's just talk federal. I mean, the Republicans are dwarfing the Democrats on the federal level money-wise, and that's gonna have a lot of effect on you know, what the ad buys are. And in the modern way of campaigning, it's less people on the ground, and it's more, you know, TV and mail.
You know, and there's no way to know if this is a factor at all, but the one thing that hasn't been brought up is just flat out fatigue.
Yeah.
You know, regardless of how you feel about the presidency and everything else, it was a long year last year, and we're just now getting into this year, and there's just been a lot of political talk.
It's fatigue. I think that's part of it. Also, you know, Trump, his strategy during the primary and during the campaign was to suck all the oxygen out of coverage of everything else. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it as well. I think, you know, a lot of people who consider themselves politically active, but maybe not at a hardcore grassroots activist level, they're spending most of their political attention on what's happening with Trump, on what's happening with Washington, and not necessarily what's happening here in the state. It's going to be interesting to see how that dynamic affects things as we get closer to November.
I see that on stage even, where people are just so fatigued with hearing about politics all the time, because that's kind of the Trump strategy, where it's not even that they're mad that you're doing a joke about or for or against anything.
Right.
They're just like, we're just sort of tired of hearing about it.
I came here to get away from this.
Yeah, and I sympathize.
At 8:35, we do the parody song contest. And it's 5 parody song snippets that reference interviews, topics, stories we've done, we've covered over the course of the show this week. The first caller that gets it right after 8:35 and correctly identifies all 5 subjects is going to win a $150 gift card to Peter's Billiards. As we are wont to do, let's go ahead and give you your preview. Don't call now. Wait till after 8:35. This is your preview of this week's parody song contest.
When your team wins a title, burn your town. Tip a car, loot a store, burn your town. Sure, you won a championship, but you're really just a dumb sh**. When your team wins a title, burn your town. This is ground control to Elon Musk. Your car is now in space. They're saying that these fries might just be the answer to your chrome dome. Was it cool or lame? Cool or lame? In the middle of a game, of a game.
Dust all on my fingertips, I just want a quiet chip. In my purse they need to fit, Jory Topher's in Eureta.
From the show that brought you...
Wow.
That was good.
That was Lady Doritos. We do have a lady with Cheetos on the way. Plus the nightmare that workers at Whole Foods are going through. On top of that, Amazon is actually using Whole Foods and, in my opinion, throwing down the gauntlet on home deliveries. We'll get to that coming up.
Justice.
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130 and 103.5 FM. It's the Friday Roundtable. Justice and Drew, comedian Brian Miller, Brian McDaniel from Wrong About Everything, Loop. Sam... doing a fantastic job this morning. We're going to talk snacks here in a moment. We're going to talk groceries here in a moment. It only seems appropriate that we start off here, especially with Brian Miller in studio. Fox News. Recreational use of marijuana now legal in 9 states, plus Washington, D.C. The latest Fox News poll finds that a record number of voters nationally favor legislation. The poll shows 59% of voters support legalizing marijuana. That's up from 51% in 2015, 46% back in 2013. The thing about this, I want the poll done on demand, not legalizing. Because I'm convinced that if you go demand, that there are people who don't want it, who still complain about legalizing pot. But if given the choice of answering a poll saying, would you go and buy it, not giving your opinion on whether or not it would be legal, there are people who poo-poo it now, but would still go and use if it became legal.
That's interesting.
And the flip side of that is there's a lot of people that have never done it and have no interest in doing it that fully support it being legalized.
Yeah, true. Just on a principled stance.
Right.
Right.
Or as like a football player say, yeah, I could take a bunch of opioids on Monday after a game smoke a little doober or whatever, or take some THC pills. Well, I think there's no question about which one's better for your body.
Yeah, and better for your brain.
Yeah.
I mean, there's... pulling this off of memory, so forgive me if I misspeak.
Have you done anything that might affect your memory?
No, God no.
Okay.
But there's some studies that have indicated that THC marijuana use, in moderation, mitigates the risk and long term effects of concussions.
Mm. That's why I've never had a concussion. Huh. Cool.
also because you don't do anything physical.
Well, there's that.
Because of all the marijuana.
Could be either way. I'm running a bunch of unofficial experiments on myself.
So far, it's all working out.
Yeah, well, we're still collecting a lot of data.
Marijuana legalization is going to continue to gain support. It's going to happen state by state. I see this following the same path that same-sex marriage did.
Absolutely.
It's working out sort of the same way. Eventually, it's just going to happen at some sort of federal level, whether it happens because of a Supreme Court decision that says if enough states have done it, the federal government can't supersede states that have passed this legislation with their own legislation. Something to that effect is going to happen eventually. It's only a matter of time, and I think it's the right thing to do. I think recreational use shouldn't be treated any different than alcohol.
Yeah.
If we're gonna allow adults to consume alcohol, which does get you inebriated, then I think marijuana needs to be treated the exact same way.
32% now oppose legalizing pot, and that was down from 49% back in 2013. Uh-huh. If it starts getting close on the national level, I do wonder, this is a thought popped into my head, and I could be completely off base here, but I do wonder whether or not you're going to see any sort of pushback from alcohol lobbyists.
Yes.
Who will be, okay, so there we go. Well, I guess I wasn't that far off the mark then.
Yes.
I think they've already, that's been a quiet force against legalization for a while.
Yeah, they won't come out and openly, with their names or brands attached to anything, come out and oppose it, but they'll support other groups, with benign and unusual sounding names, mm-hmm. that will fight against this because they want to be the main thing that inebriates people.
Sure, especially with Big Pharma, at least has the potential to get in on the game.
Yeah.
With some version of their own, but Anheuser-Busch has no stake in that.
Well, I certainly wasn't drawing from my own personal thoughts on the matter, but
the Fritos lobby. Yeah, they're working hard in support.
Yeah, that Papa John's guy, he's all about it.
Yeah, he's
probably not. He's not cool.
Papa John's not cool at all. No.
oh, trust me, Papa John is very happy about the legalization of marijuana, in especially in Colorado.
As long as you're not kneeling, he's fine with it.
Brian McDaniel, you mentioned you mentioned Fritos.
I did.
What about Cheetos? Got a story here out of Metro UK.
It is just a fat Frito.
If you want a, if you want to get a visual of this, you can go search
that
the
hashtag. My nickname in high school.
You can search the hashtag TCNT on Twitter. There's a photo up there. You can also go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, and there's a couple photos there on the Justice and Drew page. But Amelia Jackson loves the Flaming Hot Cheetos, and she loves Flaming Hot Cheetos a lot. While she was pregnant, she was hit with a constant craving for the spicy snack. Eating 320 family-sized packs of Cheetos during a pregnancy.
Oh, my She God. Kept track?
Sorry, how many?
320 family-sized packs of Cheetos.
Was she, carving a notch on the wall like a prisoner, like a Papillon situation?
And what is the window of time?
Tattooing a tear on her face.
9 months? It's during her pregnancy.
A little Chester Cheetah on her arm. Like football players, they get a sack. They put one on a sticker on their helmet. She's just covered in Chester Cheetahs.
Do the math. I can't do that. I won't do the math. But yeah, do the math. You do 320 family-sized bags of Cheetos in 9 months.
Did her baby come out flaming hot?
No, but there is something to that. Amelia even jokes that her Cheeto obsession is the reason why her son was born with bright red hair.
Okay, that's 35 bags a month.
Oh, God.
It's more than a bag a day.
Well, what I can tell you, a similar story is for a period of time, my former mother-in-law lived with us, and she was disabled, so it was hard for her to get out of the house. And when I would come home from work on my way home, she would call and she would say, "I want you to go to the store and buy all of the Cheetos puffs." And I would legitimately, every bag that was there, I would buy them, and then she would eat them until they were gone, and then I'd go and get more.
Now, you would think...
I can't believe you got divorced. You left that wonderful situation.
Yeah.
You would think we're at the core of this story. We are not at the core of this story. To celebrate both her pregnancy and her dedication to Cheetos, Amelia decided to do an elegant maternity photo shoot in a bathtub full of Cheetos.
Oh.
Some if you want to see,
please tell me that's where most of the bags of Cheetos went and not like actually being consumed, because it's so many Cheetos.
If you want to see the photo, you can go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com, go to the Justice and Drew page. There's a couple of photos there, actually.
How much weight did she gain?
I feel like you could get a weird infection by laying in a bathtub full of Cheetos.
It's that's good crud. Weight, though, Sam. Yeah. Let's say that during pregnancy. That's good. It's good to have. It's good to put on that weight.
Somebody who is willing to lay in a bathtub but full of Cheetos probably already has those infections.
Oh, sure.
Or doesn't care.
Probably gets rid of those infections.
I was going to say flaming hot. That's all I can think about. You ever like touch your nose after you cut a jalapeno?
Is that how our president got his glorious hue?
What I love about the story, though, is as you work through it, the picture begins to come into focus across the board about why this happened. Okay, so I mean, for one, you got the love of Cheetos. Okay, she's pregnant. Two, she thinks that perhaps hopefully she's joking, maybe not, that her Cheeto obsession led to her son having bright red hair.
It didn't.
She goes on to say, "I always loved Flaming Hot Cheetos ever since I was a kid. Okay, I used to steal quarters from my parents' money jar so I could go get my Cheeto fix at school. I buy 3 bags a day from the vending machine."
It's just so bad for you.
"These days, I'll hoard bags and bags of them at my house just so I never run out, like Grandma used to. "When I go grocery shopping, I even crap open a bag right there in the store and keep me going while I walk around."
What? Sociopath. You have a problem. People who eat in the grocery store should be taken to an island from which they cannot return.
I agree.
All right, let's stop there real quick on that particular issue. Okay. Where does everybody stand? And I think we never used to, but where do you stand if you go to the grocery store, okay, and say you're thirsty or say you're hungry?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Do you think it's okay to crack open, say, a beverage, you know, non-alcoholic, or a snack, and then take that up there and pay for it on the way out? Drew, we'll start with you.
I mean, okay, in the sense that, like, are you breaking any laws or rules? No, you're not, but it's uncouth.
Yeah, being how long adult, are you going to be at the grocery store? You're going to be there for 10 more minutes. Wait to get to your car.
You can wait.
Okay. Private McDaniel?
I think legally you could, but I would never do it. I'm always, for whatever reason, hyper aware or hyper afraid that someone's going to think I'm stealing something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's your food until you pass through the magical cash register.
Exactly.
Until you go to the checkout lane, it's their food. Because you can go put it back. If I get 3 cans of Pringles.
I change my mind
and I go put 2 cans of Pringles back, I don't have to go through a return policy.
Sam, how about you? Going through a grocery store, you're hungry or thirsty, you're doing your shopping. Is it okay to crack open the beverage or eat said item, knowing you're going to pay for it and keeping the wrapper on the way out?
Oh, it's definitely not okay, but that's not to say that I haven't grabbed a couple grapes before. I think we've all done it.
Well, that's a whole other issue
you just opened.
Yeah, grape and cherry thievery, particularly.
Produce. That drives me nuts when I see people in the produce section just grab a couple, and they're not grapes like a bundle that they've put in their cart. No, they're just picking them off and eating them.
Oh, I won't do that. No. If I have a bag, I'll like steal one grape, and it's like the most scandalous thing I do all week.
My standard on it is this, because the other day we went to the store. I was super, super hungry after the show. Met Melinda at Walmart, and I got like a Reese's snack pack. And I walked over to the self-checkout, and I purchased it, right? And then into Martin and Munch it.
Bought it first?
I bought it first.
That's totally different.
Right. That is different. I will do beverages, though. And not drink the whole thing. There's been times when I've gone through the store, super hungry, I mean, super thirsty, I need a beverage, I will open it up and drink the beverage and then bring the beverage up to the front with still some liquid in it. I don't know why that's a rationale in my mind that that's okay, but that's what I do. I don't do it a lot.
Like a 2-liter?
No, like a bottle, like a bottle of water or a Gatorade Frost or something.
Pepsi Big Slam.
Yeah, you were looking very judgy at me all of a sudden.
I was confused. Oh, okay. When I think grocery store, I think 2 liters.
Oh no! The little fridges they got there. You get your Monster Energy drink.
I honestly don't think it's ever taken me longer than 15 minutes to do all of my grocery shopping. I go in there with a plan. I get what I'm going for, and I'm gone.
Yep.
So like, I'll certainly I go to the Kowalski's by my house. I'll get a couple of chicken strips and I'll eat them in the car on the way home or whatever.
Done that.
But I don't eat them while I walk around to the Kowalski's. I wait till I exit the Kowalski's and then I begin my eating.
I am the slowest grocery shopper ever. It's terrible. I need to grocery shop with someone else just to keep me on track.
That's why
I have to wander around.
I have to go with Melinda all the time for that very reason, because she'll be there for hours for no reason at all, and she has to bring me with her.
That's absolutely me. Absolutely.
Sam, I can train train you. I'll show you the ways. I'll show you the methods.
I just can't. And it's even worse. Like, even if I have a list, even if I go in there with a list, I'll just go for the first item at the top, and then I'll go to the, get the next item, and then the third item, it will be on the other side of the store that I already walked by.
Yeah, you got to be more strategic than that.
Yeah.
You got to plan that out.
I like looking around, though. That's the problem.
It comes with maturity.
But I like looking around.
You know what? I would make the argument that Sam's generation is deprived by not having supermarket sweep.
Oh, my God.
The game show that taught us how to plan your grocery store trek.
I purchase chicken fingers from the deli section at Cub while we're go shopping and eat them all the time walking around. Yeah.
Well, Snoop Dogg is doing Joker's Wild now. How amazing would he be at Supermarket Sweep being the host with everyone getting the munchies?
Yeah.
651-989-5855.
Bob in Burnsville. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Back to this whole legalizing marijuana. You know, one of the points we're missing, which, you know, the backdrop of this is just the complete hypocrisy of this country. Think about the millions of dollars we've spent to eradicate cigarette smoking in this country, educating kids how awful it is, and here we go saying, but it's okay to smoke this drug that we're now going to make legal. I mean, just the hypocrisy just continues to confound me.
Well, you don't have to smoke it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things you can do.
Well, yeah, one thing I'd say is that the anti-tobacco people are usually anti-smoking marijuana too. Probably not to the same degree that they are anti-regular tobacco.
Right.
So the hypocrisy argument probably is partially fair, but that is something that definitely that's a wedge issue in the anti-tobacco world.
Now coming up, we're not done with the Cheeto story. There are a few more points. to get to.
Wait, we're not?
No, there's still some other gems in here. And then we will get to Whole Foods. There's been a story that's been in the background all week long of the nightmare that Whole Foods workers have been going through. Amazon is also vowing to deliver groceries now, if you have Prime, in 2 hours.
Yeah,
we'll get
Whole
to
Foods
that. Whole Foods groceries.
Yeah,
to move.
They already deliver groceries
into
ours, just because sort of standard groceries, but now you can get Whole Foods products added to that as well. But first, it is time for our parody song contest. 5 parody song snippets, all referencing topics we've covered on the show this week. The first caller at 651-989-5855 that correctly identifies all 5 is going to win a $150 gift card to Peter's Billiards.
When your team wins a title, burn your town. Tip a car, loot a store, burn your town. Sure, you won a championship, but you're really just a dumb sh**. When your team wins a title, burn your town. This is ground control to Elon Musk. Your car is now in space. They're saying that these fries might just be the answer to your chrome dome. Was it cool or lame? Cool or lame? In the middle of a game, of a game.
Dust all on my fingertips. I just want a quiet chip. In my purse they need to fit. Doritofas and Urita.
Justice in...
Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, 103.5 FM. Final segment of the Friday Roundtable. Thank you to Brian McDaniel. Thank you to Brian Miller for coming in and spending some time with us this Friday. Always a lot of fun.
What, I get nothing? I'm here all week.
Yeah, I thank you every day.
All right.
we are in the midst of the parody song contest. 651-989-5855 is the phone number. 5 parody song snippets. The first caller that can correctly identify what is being referenced is going to win that $150 gift card to Peter's Billiards. Let's play it one more time before we jump in and start taking your calls.
When your team wins a title, burn your town. Tip a car, loot a store, burn your town. Sure, you won a championship, but you're really just a dumb sh**. When your team wins a title, burn your town. This is ground control to Elon Musk. Your car is now in space. They're saying that these fries might just be the answer to your chrome dome. Was it cool or lame? Cool or lame? In the middle of a game, of a game.
Dust all on my fingertips. I just want a quiet chip. In my purse they need to fit. Doritofas and Urita.
I went to go use the restroom during the break, and I was just singing Madonna the whole way. I got it listened to on the way.
I think this one from front to back is one of the most completely good ones that we've had.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Very high quality.
We will start with Nathan calling from Woodbury. Go ahead, Nathan.
Hey, how's it going?
Excellent.
Cool.
It is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just need to guess what the song
is? Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go.
Come at me.
Number one is the Philadelphia Eagles starting Philadelphia on fire after they won. The fans?
Continue.
Yeah. Continue.
Number two is Elon Musk putting his car into space on the Falcon Heavy.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep going.
You got a satellite delay there, Nathan?
Yeah, kind of. I don't.
Okay, keep going.
Cooler Lane is Justin Timberlake. But what was the third one?
Then you tell us.
I didn't hear the song.
Oh, well, then, sorry.
Oh, I saw that for that.
What are you just guessing top stories of the week?
Don in Minneapolis.
Didn't hear the songs. That's the point.
Come at me, Don. Let's go.
Okay, first one is Philadelphia burning its dirty city to the ground.
Philadelphia is horrible.
Second was SpaceX, Falcon Heavy launching a Tesla into space. Third one was McDonald's fries apparently being the cure for baldness. Fourth was the Prince tribute at the halftime show. And third was the patriarchy's Lady Doritos idea.
Oh, I love that confidence. No dead air.
All right, Don, you've got yourself a $150 gift card to Peter's Billiards. Hang on the line, and Sam will get all of your relevant info. Well done.
All right, and the issue of moving forward and a couple of things we want to cover before we wrap the show up, go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and the Justice and Drew page. Do yourself a favor, read the rest of this Metro UK article about the woman who celebrated her pregnancy by taking a photo of herself in the bathtub full of Cheetos, because it does get better, because she goes on to detail in the story the number of bags used for the photo shoot and how afterwards she went to go take a shower, and as she was washing the hot, flaming hot Cheeto dust off her body, it ended up causing some damage.
Ah.
To her, yeah. So you just, I know.
To her body or to her plumbing?
Or
is it all one and the same?
The aftermath was horrific. There was Cheeto dust all over my body, and when I took a shower, it was dribbling in places you just don't want flaming hot Cheeto dust to be.
Yeah.
It burned like crazy.
No,
but I was
God,
okay
please,
when I got
no,
it all off.
No!
So that she's considering a bathtub full of tacos and chicken nuggets next time.
No. No, no, no.
Spoken as a guy who once chopped a jalapeno and then ran to the restroom. Trust me, you got
to
be careful.
Yeah, I used to work in a Mexican restaurant, and I was the salsa guy.
Mm, sure.
And we made big, just vats of salsa, right?
Yeah.
And so we had the big machine where you put all the vegetables, and that juice would just spew everywhere. And I would, hours after getting off work, I would have these burning red, hot, splotchy spots all over my skin. It was terrible.
Out of the Miami Herald, a story that's been making the rounds this week, apparently Whole Foods has become a very tough place to work. An anonymous staffer told Business Insider, which then spoke to 27 current and former workers, "I wake up in the middle of the night from nightmares. The stress has created such a tense work environment. Seeing someone cry at work is becoming the new normal."
Whoa. What is going on at Whole Foods?
So, apparently, Whole Foods was bought, and we'll get into more of this in a moment, was bought by Amazon last summer. They've initiated a new inventory system called Order to Shelf. That's pretty hardcore. OTS is when distributors and suppliers deliver small batches of product to retailers. And I think, so to keep the shelves fully stocked, staffers have to hustle more than ever. To add insult to injury, managers are walking around conducting pop quizzes, doing spot checks, and checking off scorecards to determine how quickly the shelves are replenished. So this sounds like we talked about it was the Amazon that had the store where you walk in with the app, right? Was that right?
Okay. Yep.
Amazon Go, was it Amazon Go?
Yeah, you just walk in, you walk out,
right.
And it like calculates all your...
Right.
Yeah.
And in that story, it talked about how the employees necessary for that store would be the ones that are going to have to go and put the items back up on the shelf to keep it stocked. It sounds like Amazon purchasing Whole Foods has instilled this new way of doing, you know, the product placement, and also getting ready for what they're going to do here in this next story by having these small quantities of stuff arrive at the store that the employees just weren't ready and prepared for, apparently, the life that they had prior to Amazon buying them.
I can imagine where it's like you're never not stocking the shelves. You know, know, that's a stressful thing. Oh. Any kind of Sisyphean task where you're like, you're just, you always could be doing this. You know, there's never a moment when you technically shouldn't be putting something on the shelf. Ugh.
Worst job. To me, the idea of worst job ever, and this job's kind of like that, but I love doing this job. But it's the job that you can, that never, and you can never get to completion.
Yes.
I did a job for a brief period of time between radio gigs, and I forget, what was the name of the, it was a media base? So basically, this was back when the record companies wanted to track the songs that were being played on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
So they hired idiots like me, and they would send over snippets of songs from radio stations around the country, and then I would have to listen to those snippets, identify the songs, and implement them in the computer. Mm. And it was 8 hours solid per day. The problem was when you finished, it just keeps compiling.
Oh.
So you knew that once you were done, you may have been done with your workload, but the work was just piling up. It was the worst job ever.
It sounds like Amazon is experimenting. You know, they're trying out new methods. I mean, they're new to the grocery game, obviously. This is not something that they've ever done, and they're trying to treat their grocery stores much like they've treated their warehouses. Whether or not it's going to be effective long term, we don't know. But this feels like it's some sort of transitionary strategy that Amazon is trying to do. And it makes sense. I mean, to keep that backroom inventory down and just have what you need on the shelves in stock.
Well, and think about the modern way that a bricks and mortar store has to entice people to come there. People don't like going to stores as much as they used to. Obviously, they're buying online, and you know, Target is getting slammed left and right for not having their shelves stocked. So obviously, it is something that customers notice, and this might be terrible for the employees. But if you want a store, I mean, if you want a job in a bricks and mortar store, the customer service is just going to have to be, you know, way more than it was, you know, during the old system.
With the scorecard they have, one of the myriad of questions, do all the items on the sales floor have accurate signage? Are all the displays that are not pulled down at night maintaining 75% holding power or greater throughout the day?
I don't know what any of that means.
A scorecard below 89.9% is considered failing, and the employee may be subject to termination, not to mention humiliation.
Ugh.
The fear of being chastised, punishment, retribution is real and pervasive, a worker told Business Insider, which adds the harsh working environment has caused people to quit.
Oh,
well, as is their right.
It's a new company. You know, you don't work for Whole Foods anymore. You work for Amazon.
And I tell you what, I stopped going to Whole Foods and Amazon bought them. I'm full on Kowalski's. I will not support Amazon. I don't buy anything off Amazon.
Really?
No, I refuse to buy anything online. I don't think anybody who's a real cook would ever buy their groceries online. I got to test every piece of produce. I got to look everything over. I want to see my piece of fish. I want to see everything. Like, I mean, it's one thing if you're getting a box of Triscuits or whatever.
Sure.
But, you know,
yeah, no,
I do a lot of scratch cooking, so I just don't.
I buy tons of, I don't buy groceries on Amazon. I mean, I've bought, like, in a pinch, I've bought, like, some bottled water and some snacks or something. I do a lot of shopping.
I might have bought five things off Amazon in my entire life.
Yeah? Not an Amazon Prime customer?
I don't believe in shopping online. I think all shopping should be done in person.
Well, you will not be taking advantage of.
You're the youngest grandpa I've ever met.
Amazon will start delivering groceries from Whole Foods via its 2-hour Prime delivery service announced yesterday. So Austin, Cincinnati, Dallas, and Virginia Beach will be the first to get the service. Amazon Prime customers pay $99 yearly subscription for the service, can now buy thousands of items across fresh and organic produce, bakery, dairy, meat, and seafood. 2-hour delivery will be free, and a 1-hour option cost $7.99 on orders of $35 or more. How are they doing it?
Yeah.
2-hour delivery, and it's going to be, and it's free. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't know how Amazon makes money.
Wow. I mean, you look at like pizza
it's
delivery.
Bizarre.
They can get you a pizza in a half an hour usually. Yeah. So you go 2 hours for stuff that doesn't have to stay hot.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
And I'm with you to an extent. Like, it's going to take a long time, if ever, for me to be comfortable buying certain types of groceries online and having it delivered. Things like produce, things like what you would get at the butcher counter or the fish counter, things like that. I do. I want to go see them. I want to see what they look like, and I want to be able to pick the ones that I want.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm perfectly comfortable. Anything packaged, Who cares?
Oh, I mean, like I said, box of crackers or whatever. But like, I mean, it took me a decade to figure out how to pick out a good avocado. I'm not going to outsource that to somebody who doesn't know which spot to press on.
It's like, does anybody really know how to pick out a good avocado?
Oh, I do. Right. Oh, Sam, we got to go to a grocery store together. I got things to show you.
Teach me.
It seriously took me 10 years to figure out how to pick out an avocado.
I don't want to get out of practice.
I just don't hate grocery shopping enough to pay the premium that you used to have to pay to get your groceries delivered. I did Simon Delivers back in the day. And it was more expensive. I like grocery shopping.
Yeah.
When and if it rolls out here, we will be taking it. We're already Prime members, but for whatever reason, you know, people are planning on our part or what, but we ended up going to the grocery store so much.
You're
a strange creature because at least once a week you complain about buying things online. Like, you don't like online shopping.
I don't like online shopping. It's not me.
But all of a sudden, with groceries now...
My wife. Like, it's not, but take, put your finger wife. Down. Put your finger down. It's my wife.
Leave my finger.
She's already looking at purchasing stuff of groceries online. Because we'll go do a whole grocery run, and I think we're set for the next 3 or 4 days, and suddenly there's a new list that's popped up in the kitchen. Like, where do those items come from?
No, that's just called having... kids
exactly and that's why my wife and I will probably more than likely be taking advantage of this if it rolls out in the Twin Cities.
My daughter moved out, so we're down a kid, but even still we still deal with that with the bottomless pit that is my son.
Well, I only buy online if I have to. It's only if it's only if I absolutely have to. I try not to if I don't.
I've never seen boxes of Cheez-Its disappear so quickly in my house. It's crazy.
Right. Crack in our house. I can yell that when I try to take any. Those are my Cheez-Its.
It's my Cheez-It poofs.
Jay in southern Minnesota. Real quick, you got 20 seconds.
Yeah, I just want to comment the guys who said they like grocery shopping. I don't know if they don't have kids or have never experienced grocery shopping with their kids.
I don't go with them.
So
I don't like kids. I like grocery shopping.
Yeah. We live out in the sticks, so I don't think Amazon will do the $2 delivery to us.
Yeah, it'll be a while.
Aisles online, and that's kind of a lifesaver for us.
Thanks for your call, Jay. Sorry we are out of time. Brian Miller, open mic night. Eric the Red on Tuesday.
Yes, Eric the Red Tuesday is 8:30.
Brian Free McDaniel.
Show. Wrong About Everything podcast.
All right, thanks for coming in, guys. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Bye.
I'm Chris Addison. Here's a look.